Mangy dogs, swab the decks and hoist the sails. The guns on board be needing some proper manning. Pieces of eight and a fine wench on your arm, if your work be not too shoddy. Careful not to flounder too badly, though, or you may have to dance the hempen jig as we see you to Davy Jones. But Jeffy, my boy, on with the show.
Well, shiver me timbers. To our listeners from across all regions of the planet, welcome once again aboard the Robin Hood, flagship to the world's one and only cooperatively inspired charity podcast network, WPRPN. Live streaming today from somewhere off the synergetic shores of South Korea's sunny Indian Summer Peninsula, you're listening to episode 77 of Pirate Radio Podcasts. I'm your host, as always, the ship's chief communications officer, Jaffe Ryder. Host of the Innerverse podcast, Missouri-based Minds.com personality, Chance Garten, drops by at the Robin Hood this week. Crediting other spiritual and self-improvement theme shows with having played an integral part in his own awakening and path to liberation from the Matrix, Chance launched the Innerverse podcast a few years ago, hoping to simply better understand how to become a more successful artist. So who then exactly is Chance Garten? Chance is the absence of principle, and therefore does not exist, because all effects have a cause. Then again, he's viewed by some mostly as a dude who simply likes to talk too much, sometimes finding the time for epic doodle sessions. Many of us look at our jobs and wonder, is this what I really want to be doing the rest of my life? Isn't there something more to things? Do I not have a higher purpose or calling destiny requires me to fulfill? Is this really all I've been put on this earth to do? Acting as a voice and not an echo, Chance has declared it his mission to present weekly conversations via the Innerverse podcast with super creative change makers, artists, musicians, and more. So take a few minutes to browse their dynamic archive selection. Find an episode that grabs your attention, sit back and give it a close listen, so maybe we can all work together at learning in harmony while better evolving toward pure cosmic unison. Speaking of cosmic unison, it looks like we're managing to roll double sevens here today, folks. That's a pair of lucky sevens. I'm not sure if that's blind luck, a little polished skill and ability, or just pure chance. Mr. Garten, what do you figure? What are we looking at there? Are the stars all properly aligned here this evening?
Well, I would say you're correct about that, but I also think it would be interesting to point out the esoteric meaning behind 7-7, if you're aware.
Oh, well, I might have some insight into the matter, but we're here for our listeners' sake, so let's hear a little bit more about that, if you would.
Well, first of all, let me preface this entire program with I'm not an expert, a guru, or a teacher, but I do hear things and read things, and then I share those things whenever they appear to be consistent across mediums. And so what I understand about 7-7 is that you can understand what it is in comparison to 777, which is supposed to be, in numerology, the number representative of the completion of humankind or man. And it's like the next step up from 666, the beast, right? And so whenever you have just 7-7, that's actually representative of an incomplete person. What it is that's missing is typically said to be the heart with 77, because you develop action and thought, and you have to bring those into alignment with higher truths before you actually can wake up heart and caring and feeling. And so 77 is like the skull and bones number, like a secret society number, dark magician sorcerer number, conspiracy occult number. It's a fun one.
Jeez, how about that? I imagine you could get even a little more deeper into things if you wanted. What I think we'll do, though, is I'll maybe add a little bit more to things, I suppose, by just reminding people that I think it was show number 69 that we had scheduled to stream live out of Sturgis, North Dakota. Is it North or South Dakota? You would probably know. You're based out of Missouri there, Chance. So where Sturgis, the motorcycle rally they hold every year, is that right close to Mount Rushmore? I do, as I recall. I drove through there once. Anyways, one of the Dakotas. But yes.
I actually haven't a clue.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Episode 69 was a bust. 77th year for the Sturgis motorcycle rally. Double sevens there, of course. Yeah, we had that all ready to go with a guest that we'd been really looking forward to have join us. And it sounded really great, you know. It was going to be pretty crazy. And just because we, in the end, seemed to get our wires crossed and things did not jive. He wanted to, you know, stream things out, I guess, via a completely more obscure type platform. And it was just really weird the way things kind of, it just didn't come together there, unfortunately. And that's no problem. You just, I hate to roll with the punches. That's a little overdone, but you learn to improvise and breathe. I know you're a little bit into the breathing end of life and what it means to be human, that we should be mindful of our breath. No more.
I'm so into it intellectually, but it's still a struggle to be into it regularly. Like, I still, despite how much I may preach to others about meditation and what I do know about it to be true, and being able to basically reduce the speed of aging for your brain in a nutshell, and that's just on the physical level, I still have trouble making myself sit down and do it for 10 minutes a day. I really do. It's just like I give myself way too much other busy work and imagine that somehow that's more important than creating that space and time for yourself. But really what happens when I actually get into the habit of it is I have more space in time, so to speak. It's almost like you're making the space that your consciousness resides in larger, and then things that you have to do almost like shrink in comparison. Or another way of putting it is, if you think you don't have time, then your time will always be crunched and everything will seem to be not working out or barely working out. But if you know that you always have time and you're patient enough to sit and be still and quiet on a regular basis and have a practice of that, it trains your, I guess maybe it could train your mind unconsciously to change your perception of time flow and help you A, be less stressed, and B, maybe be more effective too. I mean, that's why all the corporate fad is going on right now with mindfulness. However, that's kind of the 7-7 version of mindfulness in a way, because the Buddhists would say, and the Hindus would say, you need to meditate on compassion, not just your breath, and on and love, and on things that you want to manifest into the world and for humanity, and higher ideals. And the corporate fad version of mindfulness, the westernized, bastardized yoga that we get, not that it isn't good in the physical sense for your body and even maybe makes you more peaceful, both of those things more often than not are leaving out a spiritual component that is extremely important to balance out sort of the increased range of powers that these types of practices can bring into your life.
Absolutely. So the cultivation of breath and mindfulness, awareness of, as you say, the heart chakra, as some would refer to it, which is also, interestingly, I believe what you said was lacking as far as the numerological configuration of today's show, that final seven. Although, for me, I hear that 777, and immediately, of course, I think of Crowley. Let's just maybe hold off on that for a moment, though, because I don't think he can claim any monopoly on numbers, although maybe he did have a fascination, of course, as do many, with numerology. That's, you know, fine and well, good enough in itself. I once actually had a teacher who told me to pay attention to things that pop up in our environment. The word is, I think it's hermetics, perhaps, or I get it confused with hermeneutics, which some people say is more to do strictly with the Bible and Bible study. But yeah, I'm not so sure about that. I still got to work on getting to the bottom of things there. Let's just go, though, backtrack a little bit, though, because I think we might be getting a little bit ahead of ourselves here, really kind of wound up and carried away, off to a flying start, no doubt about that. You know, it's funny, too. It looks like our slideshow is running quite well. I was having some trouble with the OBS last night, gearing things up, getting things, everything in place with your pictures. We ripped a lot of the pictures, as many as we could, courtesy of your Facebook photo album. But I sent you a message to ask if there was any you didn't want in there, but it's a great, some pretty colorful stuff. Myself, I really love living my life through the eyes of others, perhaps. Very much the voyeur, you know, is kind of my style, really. Almost a Howard Hughes type mindset, I suppose. Songs, or, you know, with less the total overboard eccentricities, hopefully, with what did he do, collecting feces and nail clippings, and that's a little weird, but no, some people, no, there's two types of people in social media, the voyeurs and the exhibitionists. I'm not a guy that you'll ever probably see on camera. There's a few reasons for that, but let's, once again, I want to just quickly address the fact, with all these issues kind of flying by and, you know, avenues that we could traverse down, the way that we met was through minds.com, of course, but, and even before we get started on that, really, you know, the thing is, if you want to come on the Robin Hood here, and I know I didn't get a chance, it slipped my mind, which is really unfortunate, me being supposedly having, you know, I'm expected here to serve in the capacity of the ship's chief communications officer. But according to the ship's articles and Captain Long John Sinclair's wishes, every guest that we have join us here on the Robin Hood is required, if they are looking to board the ship, provide some kind of pirate story or a little bit of an anecdote of sorts, some kind of angle. I have one, actually, which I could kind of, I had in mind, I was going to tie into your surname. I think it's a really interesting surname, which I think, I'm guessing, might be Scottish, actually. It's just kind of throwing that one out there. But just off the top of your head, do you have any little pirate stories or anecdotes or jokes, riddles, songs, shanties, anything? Otherwise, we're going to have to conduct this either on the docks of Skullport Harbor or head off to one of the local watering holes.
Pirate story. It's a tough one. I like to play this ridiculous card game called Hearthstone, and my favorite deck involves using all pirates. That's all I got off the top of my head, but I'll mull it over.
Yeah, well, you know, I was looking at your picture, actually, the one of the great pictures you've got there on Facebook. And I tell you, man, there's a sword and a staff that you're holding, I believe is what it looks like. And it doesn't get any more piratey than that, I don't think.
This is the staff right here. I'm sure. Let me get it in camera better. Catch up with. It's a little too long, but you see it back there. Chris has been
very involved. Right? Yeah, sure.
Got a crystal on the top of it. Yeah, proper magical staff. Yeah,
Chris, how's it going? Right. You know, I can see it, but I don't think our actual audience can.
Right. This is an audio show, too.
Well, yeah. So that's just the way we got things set up with the slideshow. We're looking for more tech navvies here to maybe lend a hand if in the instance and situation where we want to do something where we can stream out the video through a peer. And yes, that is the platform we're using here to converse with each other today, folks. We've got about, it looks like half a dozen people tuning in to today's conversation, episode 77 of Pi Radio Podcast with Interverse podcast host Chance Garten. So, yeah, groovy staff. Was I correct there, or kind of a ballpark kind of guess there with the surname? Is that Scottish by chance?
It's Welsh, actually, but not originally Welsh. I think surname came with some, farthest back I'm aware of my ancestry is with some noble warrior, or I guess like soldiers that came into England with William the Conqueror, and then they were appointed some land, and there's a town in Wales called Garten, and genetically, I guess it shows up as Irish because they don't differentiate that very well. But yeah, I'm a Celtic warrior, baby. Not really. I'm a pretty peaceful dude.
Right. Well, I think even the most peaceful people, if they're pushed in the right direction, can sometimes react in a way which might surprise others, you know, people that are trying to rile their feathers up. So I know that's how I look at things, at least, that, you know, a bit of a pirate here since the time I was shanghaied back, I guess it was December of 2015 was when that all kind of went down. And I know we've talked about doing a show over on Interverse. You maybe, you raised the possibility of having me join you there at some point. And that's one of the stories I could maybe share with people, in the event that that manages to manifest. So
that would be cool. I think maybe next weekend or follow-up weekend sometime in October. Totally be cool.
Yeah,
I've got a lot of openings in the schedule.
Yeah, well, you know, actually we're all booked
and
up.
I wanted to make another point about where what we were on a second ago.
Sure.
A quote that's been rattling around in my head like crazy lately: resistance to tyrants is obedience to the creator.
Well, how about that? Although, you know, it's interesting. If you look at, well, what creator are we talking about? Because Yahweh, that character, quite the prototypical, maybe even archetypal psychopath, you know, is...
Oh, yeah.
Angry God, jealous God, vengeful God, you know, I want, you know, bow to me or you will die. And like, as in Islam, have your head chopped off, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's the same... The same dude in both of those stories, actually. What I mean by creator, and it's specifically maybe I like to use the word like great mystery, maybe natural law even is a better word than creator, because what I conceive of that force is as the boundary conditions that create our reality, the things that are immutable and unchangeable by humans no matter what, that sort of set us up and direct the flow of things, if you will. So the main intention, we have free will within that, of course, but there are higher spiritual principles that it's something that is really heavily resisted in today's culture. But the fact is, just as there are laws that govern the way that matter behaves in all these different situations that are testable and provable, that goes for moral law too, which is another way of saying spiritual law. You know, it's the basic: don't harm anybody, don't take something that's not yours, don't commit fraud. Essentially, all of it is a form of theft, everything that you could do wrong. I think the reason why Earth is often called the prison planet is because so many people fail to understand that lesson and repeat possibly lifetime after lifetime the same kind of behavior in a loop almost. And then there comes the question of, are there dark forces arrayed against us trying to perpetuate that cycle and in some way feed off of it? But I might be going too far too soon.
No, I mean, we can go anywhere with our conversation today, obviously, but I just wanted to let people know how it was that we first met on Minds. And I can't really recall exactly, other than just seeing you jump in there one day, just suddenly popping up and appearing as the Interverse podcast. And now there's a tie-in too with Lost Arts Radio, which I find quite interesting. Let's not forget as well to give a shout out to Emily Anderson. She recently came on board here via the Robin Hood and WPRPN. So we're going to set her up as soon as we can with a subdomain URL via the network. That, of course, is available free of charge.
I got to get one of those soon.
Well, they're available free of charge to anyone that is a guest. So outside of that, though, what we're doing is asking $15 per year for anyone that wants to put a personal or private profile together, $60 if you're flogging some kind of product, merchandise, or it's a more commercial kind of endeavor. Now, the interesting thing about this, Chance, is that it's a three-way split. We are the Robin Hood, so there's a heavy emphasis on charity. Of the $15 or $60, a third of that goes directly to charity, right into the community kitty, you know, for any good works that we find coming up along the way or people that are in need in some manner. So the other third goes to the finder. Basically, if you bring somebody on board, you get, and this is an annual kind of deal. As long as this account is in place and they stay affiliated with us, they continue the finder to receive that a third of the cut, the portion, and the booty, as it were. So the other third, of course, goes back to the network to help, you know, so we can sustain ourselves and maintain a steady and stable course as we sail along out here on the high digital seas. So was I clear on that as far as the way things break down and how we got things set up? Or is that maybe or lose you on that one?
Actually, no, I think that's a really brilliant strategy for synergy, as you were promoting this episode with that hashtag quite a bit.
Yeah.
I personally, it makes me think that, you know, I'm a little selfish with the support that I receive from my program. Well, I don't spend it on myself per se. I do spend it all on improving the show or buying things for the show or to promote the show or equipment. I think I'm going to investigate what I could do with a portion of the booty, as you called it, the doubloons. I could share a few of the doubloons with those in need. And the universe is a reflective system, so there's even a selfish component that what you put out there is what you receive. So, you know, if I was to do that, I think it would only help improve my karmic chances of continuing to receive support from all the beautiful people who do support. One of those people who you just brought up is Emily Anderson. Amazing friend. I love Emily. It's been such a cool thing to get to know her through the show, and she's really helped me promote my podcast more than anybody else, I think. Like, she's gone as far as to paint these awesome rocks with interversepodcast.com on the rocks and go leave them in public parks and things. Like, very creative, very well-wishing, very inspiring soul to know. And the Lost Arts Radio Connection, I think that's where, possibly where Emily started following the podcast, maybe before that, I'm not sure. But she did introduce me to Richard Sachs through sending me an email. And that's somebody that would, I'm sure, be happy to come on your show. And you could even get maybe some very specific information out of him. He could talk at length about nutrition and how it relates to spirituality, spiritual health. And are you familiar with his Essene teachings, as he calls them?
Yeah, I mean, that's it's a pretty regular part of the content feed that's popping up there via the stream over on minds.com, of course. Sure, yeah.
So the story with that is that Richard actually has past life memory that he's able to access of being a student of a potentially enlightened spiritual teacher in the long, long ago. And that's where some of his information comes from. He puts it in context with what, you know, modern understandings are about things. And it comes out to be a pretty convincing and potent argument for really a more raw vegetable-based diet, essentially, which I'm already kind of close to personally as a vegetarian, but I definitely would say my raw content of food is more in like the 30%, not the 50%. I think 50% would be pretty ideal. It's often overlooked by people that what you put in is what you put out, just like what you put out is what you get back. And one of the things that keeps us disconnected from the heart, as we were talking about before with the 7-7 skull and bones, you're familiar with Skull and Bones Society, I'm sure, but the reason why they're Skull and Bones is because that actually represents thought, which is the skull, and action, which is the bones. And with no heart, that's why it's Skull and Bones. So what keeps people extraordinarily far from connecting to that on a regular basis is the fact that in mass people are consuming suffering and death through the factory farming system and through how horrible they treat their bodies and ignore it, essentially. And whenever you have to put up that level of ignorance to how you really feel about something, almost all people except basically psychopaths would not want to put a bolt through a cow's head and then chop it up and eat it. I think most people that are hanging out around a cow go, wow, this is like a lot like a dog, actually. And so people repress that awareness of the consciousness and the feelings and the they don't empathize with the other, especially in terms of what they're eating on a regular basis. And that is a surefire shutdown for the heart chakra and a surefire way to keep yourself out of any kind of spiritual growth or development as well, because without that third component, the system doesn't really spin. And it's important to keep it spinning, because in life we often get stuck with something in our physical world that seems like an impasse, or with our physical health and our body, or something in our mind is an impenetrable wall for some reason. And whenever we focus on one of the other two areas of our three-part system, we can actually kind of bypass or find help with the trouble that we have in one area through improving our strength in the other. So it's just important, I guess, to get to the gym as it is to meditate, obviously, but that's a very long-winded way of saying that.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons we actually don't have a car here. I think you're aware that I live in South Korea. I've been a Canadian expat calling the Korean Peninsula my home since the summer of 2002, actually. But no, we don't have a car, and that's a number of reasons for that. One is that it helps to provide cleaner air for people. You know, they don't have to worry about our toxic automotive or car emissions. So as long as...
See, I'm still driving one of those damn things. So I'm, in many ways, I'm far from achieving all the steps in any of the three areas of development, for sure.
Some people have to, though, Chance. I mean, come on. I'm not saying, I mean, so right now, unfortunately, the thing is, because of the way the infrastructure is set up, it's not like the technologies aren't out there to provide cleaner burning energies and fuels and engines.
I just got solar on my house.
Yeah, huh? Good. Well, there you go.
So I'm good. Fully solar.
But you know how that works, though, too. Of course, anytime someone comes up with an energy-saving device or something that's going to pose a threat to the vested interests, bottom line, there it often seems you hear stories about them being paid a visit or two by a certain kind of shadowy type individuals, let's say, and offered a deal that they just can't refuse. In the event that they do, what we so often hear, you know, happens is, as with Joe Eminon, for example, who's one of our regular listeners and members of the crew here aboard the Robin Hood, has tuned in today, of course, along with a handful of others, including Satori D. Great to have you drop by, Satori. And Karen Lee, I think a friend of yours. Emily is tuned in. I think she's working right now, so who knows? Maybe she's got an earpiece in at the moment as she serves up steak dinners at whatever she is, the restaurant she works at there, I guess, is what's the kind of story I've heard there. Southeast Missouri, some unnamed, as of yet, anonymous location. Joe 333 and Brady Alex, too. Thanks for joining us. But, yeah, Joe Eminon actually had some people, I think he was from DARPA, visit him. And they basically just absconded, demanded and forced him to hand over all of his, the details and blueprints and everything that he laid out as far as this technology that he developed. But we hear this time and again with various...
I actually have a friend that had a similar situation occur.
Sure. Yeah, or they die, or they just disappear. You know, if you don't play ball, then it's like you just disappear. Nobody hears from you again, is what it seems. But go ahead, if you just quickly flesh that one out, and then I'm going to circle back to a couple of points, some notes that I've been taking here in respect to the points that you've been raising.
Yeah, a friend of mine was involved with, I can summarize it pretty quickly, he was involved with some university research related to designing an encrypted internet-based voting platform to be applied to actual state elections and federal elections. And what ended up happening is these guys that he was working with and my friend Chris, things were missing from their office or getting destroyed randomly, and they were being gang stalked. And you're aware of like gaslighting, right?
Sure.
Yeah, so gaslighting where people will come into your house and move something or do something that you're going to see later, and it's going to make you go crazy because they're going to do it so many times that you start getting paranoid that there's somebody breaking into your house all the time. And yeah, crazy shit like that. And he actually did have a paranoid nervous breakdown and no longer worked with the project. And he's seemingly happy and healthy now, but I'm not sure what he's up to because I've lost touch with him. But it was several years back. But yeah, that's a similar type of disruptive technology. If people were able to vote on the internet, then we'd really see what mob rule looked like.
Well, having via the blockchain, of course, too, with encryption, makes it a lot tougher for these crooked outfits like Diebold and others, where they've got systems in place now that, and it's been the case for quite a few election cycles, that these machines can be hacked, I guess, within about 30 seconds. So there's your democracy, America. There's the will of the people, hacked in 30 seconds, and they flip the vote or whatever, you know. So, yeah, quite a pretty sad state of affairs. But let me just circling back to a couple points, you know, and feel free just to, if there's anything that you feel we've passed over or haven't really fleshed in or given enough attention to, that we can circle back to that at any point. So things get even a little more unwound and kind of spontaneous in the after show, which we have not talked about, but that's a weekly feature that we have. Emily has said that she's interested in dropping by along with a few others, but as I said, she's working right now, won't be available for a little while. Usually we take just a little break after our 90-minute conversation here, and it's called the Rogues Gallery, which runs for an hour, and that's our premium content that we provide for our Patreon supporters, of which you are one. Thank you very much. Pledging $1 per item of premium post-produced content, and we do our best, our utmost, to provide the highest quality product that we can when it comes to not just streaming live here via YouTube, but also the post-production MP3 audio end of things. Speaking of YouTube, and I know we're kind of jumping around here a little bit, but let's stay on that for a moment, because this is a point I wanted to raise today. It's No YouTube Day, the 29th, and I think it was Rational Outlaw, who, if you've maybe seen him around a little bit on Minds, and it seems like we're going to be having more Minds.com personalities join us here over time. We don't want to make it exclusively, you know, book it in that fashion entirely. We also don't mind having more established names join us from time to time, but really what we're all about here is just looking to see who's out there in the grassroots community across the world, these voices that are basically up and coming or have not found a platform or been given a chance to have their voices heard. And we're hoping that we can manage to do that. But yeah, no YouTube Day, the 29th. So I'm not sure what we can say about that other than the fact that this is our weekly show and slot. So what can you do? Any thoughts?
Well, we have to be the people, the grassroots people that develop the alternatives to these type of platforms. And there are some, but they do not have the same kind of embeddable live streaming capabilities, at least none that I've found yet. However, I think the tide is turning against the mega controlling super corporations that are attempting to turn the internet into something other than what it was originally and always meant to be. I think the death of YouTube is a pretty interesting topic and something that We should keep saying over and over again, YouTube is dying. That way people will quit using it because it, I actually got demonetized in a way through YouTube, although I'd never had activated monetization on my channel because I personally don't want anyone to have to watch some dumbass ad before they get onto my content. Some of my videos have copyright claims because I use other people's music even when they give me express permission because their label or whatever has put out a copyright via YouTube and it just automatically puts a monetization on those videos. But anyway, they won't allow me anymore to put links to my Patreon on any of my stuff. And it's because I don't have a monetized channel, so I'm not allowed to link to crowdfunding. It's just one more little way to try to defund voices that aren't the voices that they want to be heard. And it's kind of, it's kind of weird coming from a company whose motto supposedly was don't be evil. But then again, don't be evil is exactly what somebody who was evil would try to tell you that they were about. So, it's a dying beast for sure. I would recommend using DTube or BitChute. I don't particularly recommend vid.me. It's got some kind of dumb restrictions and it's completely centralized. It's basically like trying to be the next YouTube and have all the same corporate problems as a YouTube. So I don't recommend that one. But BitChute is blockchain and decentralized and so is DTube, and DTube is tied into Steemit. Have you experimented over on Steemit at all? Not to slight minds because I actually prefer it as a platform, but Steemit's got some interesting potentiality, especially with the cryptocurrency aspect.
Yeah, I've got an account over there. I have not used it hardly at all. I think I logged in once, put the account together, and that was about it. I've had friends that have been telling me to get over there
DTube is now a video player on the Steemit blockchain, so you've already got an account that you can post videos to. It's already there. Also, you can find a link. It's pretty worth actually just getting on there and doing a little bit a day. They kind of were always tweaking the code of how the blockchain interacts with the actual social media aspect. But from what I understand, kind of like your first 10 or 20 upvotes on something carry the majority of your weight in currency voting power. And every one of those interactions, a comment or upvote, does generate currency through the blockchain. And just being a little bit active on a daily basis, you can build up the Steem currency and use that to power up your account and have more reach, or you can cash out and convert it to Bitcoin and watch Bitcoin climb to $500,000 in the next couple of years, probably. Who knows?
No, well, I was going to say, we're actually working on developing our own alternative currency here via, well, actually, it's WPRPN, a pirate-type virtual coin is what we've got in mind and would like
to see. They should be called doubloons.
Something like that. Yeah, something like that.
Digital doubloons.
Right, yeah. You know, and we've had it suggested we fork it off of Bitcoin. We'll see how that goes, though. It's got about a year-long time frame here is what we've set aside for ourselves. I know you can, there's some sites where you can go and put your own virtual currency together in 10, 15 minutes or something like that, but I'm really kind of waiting for, well, David Allen Zimbeck is a guy that we have here that's kind of committed to the project. Hopefully there's others that will come along. We did have one or two other folks kind of who had initially expressed an interest, but then just simply, I'm not sure, I guess. Just
keep the intention alive, brother.
Flaky types, for sure. David, though, he's not. David's still on board, though, and he's committed to the project, or so he says. So we're still in regular contact. And, oh, the vision's there. We've also got, you know, a line of merchandise we'd like to have to see available to the world. And a portion of that, the way that we got things set up, and as you say, the vision, is that for... Well, we're working on putting together, first of all, an artist design catalog so that people who submit their works, we, you know, not everything's going to be go into the catalog on a formal basis, although you can keep your work, of course, it's entirely your own intellectual creation and production, but the ones that we officially back on a formal basis and have featured in our catalog, what people are going to find there is for every time that somebody purchases, say, like a coffee mug or a t-shirt or a bath towel or a keychain, you name it, with the WPRPN brand name and trademark, and it includes their artistic design matched to the product, you know, like I said, the mug, keychain, bath towel, or what have you, they'll receive a percentage every single time, you know, a product, once again, is purchased with their design. They get a cut of the action, you know, a piece of eight or two. So that's kind of along the lines.
I've got lots of art I could donate to that.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, if you want, and we'll look it over and, you know, don't take it personally if we don't necessarily, go all hog wild and, you know, give it our official stamp of pirate approval. But Emily is one of the people that's actually helping out, I guess. We've maybe, it looks like, hoping to team her up with Amanda, Princess Amanda over on Mines, and see if they can do a little bit of promotion on that end of things to launch the campaign to solicit artistic submissions. We've also got Operation Secret Santa coming up here once again. Maybe something you haven't heard of. That's a 10-day campaign that we run throughout the, well, starting the mid part of December and all kind of ending around New Year's, essentially. This is our third time that we've worked on basically having this out there and presented to the public. It's a lot different than the Secret Santas that people are used to with the where they have the gift exchange in the offices. It's a lot more than just that, believe me. So I don't really want to get into it right now. Just kind of throw that out there and let you know about that, as well as listeners, of course. So we're going to work on doing all we can to ramp that up a little bit more this year. But let me just circle around, just because there's a couple points I wanted to hit on and come back to. And as I said, we've got about, it looks like, 45 minutes or so here left to kind of hash things over and see what we can come up with here as far as the synergy end of things is concerned. So, yeah, don't be afraid to just, once again, if you feel we haven't really fleshed a certain issue out, then we can revisit that, or you can, you know, bring something new onto the menu. But Blackjack Rackham is one of the pirates. We did a Talk Like a Pirate Day episode just last week and had Mad Dog Robert Hopkins join us, along with Amanda out of, I think she's St. Augustine, Florida. Mad Dog is Orillia, Ontario. So yeah, we've got an emerging and growing network here that's spread out all through the world, which is great. And all we ask from people, really, it's a strictly based on a voluntary basis. And we're no great fans of Marx per se, but what we have done is we've taken one of his axioms, from each according to their ability, to each according to their needs, I believe is how he had it phrased. Well, we've kind of taken that and tweaked it a little bit so that the way that it's now reads is from each according to their abilities, to each according to their contribution or efforts. So it's as simple as that. So people often ask, well, what's in it for me? What do I get out of it? And this kind of goes back to what you're talking about, how really, if you want to be selfish, as the Dalai Lama says, be altruistic. You know, if you really want, you know, things to come back to you in a karmic level, just be selfish, according to the Dalai Lama. But yeah, what's in it for me? It's well, folks, it's whatever you put into it. So it's as really as simple as that, as far as creditation and, these doubloons, that chance that you're referencing, the virtual, the currency and rewards and all those other kind of good things. Shout outs here on the show, Patreon perks, and, of course your complimentary subdomain, which is valued at $15 per year, 60 if you're once again flogging some kind of product or merchandise. But Blackjack Rackham, he was a well-known, some would say notorious pirate, although even people like Blackbeard, there's not a single shred of evidence or record of one report ever where he tortured or treated his captives badly. as long as people, they saw that pirate flag flying, and he did not use the skull and crossbones. That was strictly Black Jack Rackham, from what our research tells us. We can maybe do a little more looking into that whole business and see if there were, in fact, others that flew that flag. But, you know, if, as long as the ships that they were attacking submitted to the and just, you know, threw up their arms and surrendered, waving the white flag, and didn't put up any fight, that they would be treated fairly, you know. So it's interesting how the histories are, as Napoleon said, written by the winners of wars. Same goes back to the ancient Christians. This is a bit of a tie-in, I guess, to the Essene show that runs on a, I guess, routine, regular basis via Lost Arts Radio. So how the early Christians, Gnostics, and the Essenes really were, there was such an effort to have them completely wiped off the map and erased from history. The only version of events or representation of them that we hear is from their detractors and critics, like St. Augustine and others. So, you know, I'm not a scholar in that area, but that's definitely the way it seems. And that until we had this, as we are now living through the Age of Apocalypse, revelation of the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Essene, what was it? I guess there's settlements and so forth just outside of Jerusalem, I guess. I'm not sure if there's a Dead Sea region or not. The Essene Gospels, I think, some of the Gnostic Gospels found in Egypt. But yeah, until that time, everything was just, the version of events was all in accordance to the people that were attacking them, the critics within the establishment. That goes up to people like the Cathars as well, too, let's not forget. These heretical sects. That, how dare they choose? That's all the word means. You know, heretical is simply to choose. So, how dare they? My God.
I didn't know that etymology.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, it's just the these free-thinking bastards. Son of a, these, you know, terrorists, I guess is what they are now, or intellectual mental terrorists. So, but Black Jack Rackham, there we go. I'm not sure if there's anything you want to add to that. I was going to want to mention here, because we are kind of moving along quite quickly here, sailing along swiftly, it seems, through today's rather shiny, smooth, it's hardly a ripple out here on the high digital seas this week, which is great. It's almost like a glassy mirror type reflection of ourselves, is what we see as they're down into these mystic waters, as it were. So, but James Corbett, you had him on your show recently, and as I mentioned earlier, we're not really too much into the big names. We see these people out in social media all the time, of course. James Corbett is great. We've even got a group put together for him on Minds if people want to do a search for that and add a little content. I know that's been picking up a little bit of steam and momentum over the last little while, but that went really well. You got thousands of hits. You really, that was like one of your biggest shows, was it not?
Oh yeah, that actually, it comprises like 40% of my overall views in one video. So, and that's including audio downloads too. So it was a really big show, and I would be lying if I didn't say that part of the reason why I contacted him was because I thought it could give me some positive exposure with people that are looking for that kind of information, because I like to talk about and reveal the truth about crazy conspiracies or things that are happening right now that no one's paying attention to. And Corbett seems to be, to me, a pretty honest guy. I wouldn't say that I know exactly that he's never told, steered people wrong. I've certainly not watched nearly even 1% of his content, but actually the fact that he has so much content, to me, and he's an independent guy, I know he has help with his video editing, but I'm pretty sure he's a very independent creator. And to be that prolific, that tells me that there's something going right with him. And I think nobody can be right 100% of the time in searching for the truth, because the truth is infinite. There's always more to know and more to figure out and more mistakes to be made that will reveal the truth more clearly through the mistake. And so, personally, I'm a big fan and a big supporter of Corbett's work. That was the other reason I got him on the show. I just wanted to have a kind of casual conversation with him, and it was my favorite kind of conversation, because we talked about how best to explore and expose others to things that they are resisting or willfully ignorant of. And it was, you know, he came across with the exact same type of strategy I have to it, which is to just constantly speak the truth, but don't be combative or don't feel the need to try to force anybody to your opinion. Allow others to hold their opinion even when wrong. And, you know, getting a video that big was pretty exciting to me, but I think overall it's the core group of listeners that I'm most interested in continuing to work for, in a sense, because they are paying me actually real life money through Patreon, a solid 43 or 44 people actually. And I don't know what I would do without people like Emily and people like Karen, who's come onto the Interverse family recently, because it would feel like I was just talking to myself most of the time. And it's my attempt to be of service to others, I guess, doing this podcast. I do find that it's hard to keep my ego out of the picture and not be extremely interrupty and not be completely focused on saying what it is that I've been thinking about that day or what I think about what they're saying. But being able to go through the process of listening to myself ad nauseum has helped me refine and hopefully sharpen my wit and my ability to be present and actually attentive and listen, and to allow what I consider to be the shared spirit of consciousness that interconnects all living beings, and especially beings that are reflecting with one another directly. I think it's spirit that guides everything I say. I honestly rarely think before I speak in any situation on the show. I just kind of feel a vibration and watch myself as it happens, and hopefully don't get in my own way or in the other person's way by overthinking it. And I'm sure that you can probably relate to the really nice and sometimes cringy self-analysis that comes through being a audio personality, recording conversations and posting them on the internet for all to potentially hear.
Oh, absolutely. There's the sound of my voice is, yeah, cringeworthy at times and very, yeah, embarrassing for sure, as well as the delivery too. I've noticed I've really had to do a lot of work with my delivery. The listening end of things is so critical. And as you say, kind of putting and keeping the ego in check. Although there are times where I do feel it is, as with the Taoist approach, very yin and yang. There are times where one is to be assertive, and you should be. It's, you know, in the Buddhist sense of the word. In the Buddhist sense of the word, the skillful means, and that's really all this skillful means with the heart of compassion. I'm not sure if you've heard or not, but I'm someone who considers myself a lazy Buddhist. It's been the case for the past quarter century now. You know, I've read up on all the world religions and as many as I could find, from Scientology to Islam to all the crazy kind of fringe cults and you name it. You know, we will have people such as members that do and folks that do espouse and ascribe or subscribe to, you know, some of these tenets that these religions or cults espouse. And as you say, there's a very skillful way in when conducting an interview with someone who, where there's a difference of opinion, or you're coming at it from a perspective or angle where you've got maybe a difference in seeing things, or you're thinking this guy, you know, or person, whoever they are, they're just totally they're not seeing things clearly here. They're kind of way off base with their thinking, and this idea is totally screwed up. But to give them at least the time of day, allow them to have the chance to have their voices heard, and then respond to it, whether, you know, you end up they end up persuading you, or helping you see it from a new angle or what have you. But that's one of the big things, not to be confrontational with the guests. There's some shows where it's like really I've listened to certain interviews, radio show hosts and whatnot, where they just treat their guests like trash. People that are callers, they put them down and just, you know, kick them to the curb or throw them under the bus or however you want to put it.
Well, it's a way of generating charge. They create and exploit polarization, some people. And it's just a negative way of summoning energy, I guess, in a way. That kind of combativeness doesn't bring about what I consider to be our ultimate purpose, which is restoring unity consciousness. So whenever you're actually able to put yourself on the shelf completely, and it's not always possible for me, of course, or for anybody, but if you can actually refrain from even the beginning of the judgment and just completely allow them to be in that moment, even if they are, don't even consider them wrong, essentially. And then if you allow that, it creates this sort of space where the truth will come out anyway, but it's in a way that is organic and can almost even feel like it's coming from them, or it is in a way it is coming from them. And it's a way, it's essentially like, don't try to convince people that they're wrong. Just keep the compassionate perspective whenever responding always, and people will have the opportunity to find the truth for themselves right there in that moment without you having to force it on them. But that being said, there are cases where someone is maybe advocating something very, very wrong, violent, against natural law, and in which case you actually have, in my opinion, it's a moral obligation to say something, to say no to that, actually, not just something, but specifically say no to that. And that can also be done in a way that's not necessarily combative or confrontational, but I think that I've never actually encountered a time where I've even had to do what I just said anytime recently. That being said, I witness a lot of bullshit that's against natural law all the time, from the cars we drive to, you know, Big Macs. So that's part of why I do the podcast, though, is because it gives me a platform through which I can speak these things that I know to be true, or things that I'm working on within myself. And it's important to do this because what the dark forces, if you will, are doing is that exact thing, but on a massive scale. The word dictator, etymologically, is one that repeats endlessly. So that's why we have the sort of artificial matrix reality pulled over people's eyes in terms of, you know, the way that they see one another, and the veil of separation that is currently in the process of being lifted. Apocalypse actually means the lifting of the veil.
Yeah. People are easily triggered too with words like apocalypse, or Semitism, or anti-Semitism, or Arianism,
anarchy.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of these trigger words that people, you know, and if they would just learn to stay cool and just listen, it's just a word, okay? No, what's it mean really, and what kind of context are you using, and what are you trying to say here? What's your point exactly? It helps if you study basic logic, and so that's something that I really am thankful for. As far as the few years I spent in university, I took a philosophy course, took a few, and one of them was just, you know, basic, I think it was this philosophy 101, and that was part of the course material that we had presented to us. I was more or less in the present, you know, as it was presented. So, and that was great. I've just, you know, constantly trying to be on the ball and on top of things as far as logical fallacies are concerned. We don't like to debate, but we will, as you say. Yeah, absolutely. And there are some things that come up, and I'll tell you right off the bat, Islam is one of them. All most organized religion, but what we're seeing these days in current events, yeah, is this. I got a big issue personally. Can't speak for everyone on the ship here. That's a part of the crew. In fact, we will welcome Muslim. We do have Muslim people that help out. Alice W, for example, is one, and she's the sweetest woman, my impression at least. Very helpful and cooperative, and so I cannot say anything bad about her. And I'm sure there's many great Muslim people out there. The problem is, though, there's about a quarter of them throughout the world, and they're radicalized, and they're pretty crazy and over the top with the jihad and the whole hijra end of things, if you've ever heard of that, or the taqiyya, the holy lie, where they feel they're justified according to their book, their holy, so-called holy book, and what the imams have told them, that they can lie right to your face because you're just the low life kind of stupid kafir, the unbeliever, that they can get away with it and feel morally justified, and it does not weigh on their conscience in any manner. That's not all Muslims, of course, but you know that it's there, and that's something that they can use as a way of kind of weaseling around or justifying their awful actions, basically. So, but I really don't want to get into that too deeply at this particular boat.
Allah is Saturn, which is also Satan. It's just it's the energy. It's, you know, I don't personally put power or invest something in an external entity like a god or a demon and say that it's a real thing that has some real power over me. But what it is a symbol that represents the force of opposition in consciousness and the thing that keeps you from doing the right thing whenever you want to do the right thing. But for some reason, there's this internal resistance. Having entire religious structures dedicated to sending energy to the symbols of Saturn is like feeding the force of opposition and making it stronger within the consciousness collectively for all mankind and humankind. So I agree that it's a very dangerous ideology, and it's one of many dangerous ideologies. And in fact, anything that's hierarchical in general is a dangerous ideology. And that goes from corporations to governments to religions. We need to do away with all that shit, decentralize, discover the truth within ourselves, share that with others, and build new communities that are based on that. Really, that's what me and Corbett talked about a lot, actually, was how important decentralization actually is. And that's not just governments, that's religion, too. It definitely needs to no longer be a thing. Too long have we suffered under the yoke of that particular oppressive whip collectively. And I think fighting that force of opposition in our own lives and feeding compassionate and kind action, that's what's going to cause the external reflection of our world that we experience to ease up a little bit on that bullshit, hopefully.
Absolutely. I'm just going to actually give a shout out once again to the folks that have joined us. Half a dozen people that are on board right now with our live streaming event. As you yourself probably well know, it's not too often you actually have a live audience. Typically, most people just go for the download. So it's great that we do have this committed following and people that are happy, I guess, in many ways to participate on a weekly basis and be part of the crew here. As you know, serve as members of the Robin Hood, helping to maybe promote the show a little bit, get the good word out there to the world. Emily Anderson actually just joined us in a peer. I'm not sure if you saw her pop in there or not. Made a bit of a noise actually when she came in. I'm not sure. I thought the room was locked down. Maybe she's already got the monkey power here, is what we call it. You know, every good pirate ship has a monkey or two, a couple parrots as well, let's not forget. But with the appear platform, that's one of the things you can do. Basically, they become admins and are handed the monkey power. So once again, though, Joe 333, Satori D, Brady Alex, and Pirate Joe Eminon. Right off the top, of course, too, we had one of your, I think a fan of yours of sorts or follower of your show, Karen Lee. But before we get into that, have you addressed that
collaborator more like? She's a collaborator.
Okay. Well, thank you, Karen, for dropping by. It's great to, it's great that you had actually made it. So people were wondering a little bit about the background, some kind of feedback or background noise. What we're doing here today is we're streaming some of your Innerverse shows. Hopefully not going to be demonetized because of that. I don't think so. Usually Bob Dylan and Sony are the worst, I tell you. No more Must Be Santa this year. We're going to have to turn to a number of other tunes to stream
Santa
out.
Saturn.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, some people, yeah, Satan, Santa, yeah, yeah. So, Operation Secret Santa, we can't help ourselves. No, it's not satanic, at least from our end of things.
Well, but you're putting kind of energy into the symbol, so it's not the same. You know, it's symbols are malleable.
Well, and that's kind hell
of the
yeah.
point of waking people up to what symbols are, because if they realize that, then they don't have to be controlled by them.
There's no inherent value. There's no inherent nature to any of it. So that's, yeah, exactly. And I think you did kind of hit on that or raise that point just a few minutes ago. But things like the swastika, for crying out loud, or any of these things that come along, terms and words especially, they're constantly being hijacked. I'm a social justice warrior. I'm just not some dick that goes around trying to censor people and tell them what they can and cannot say. Very, you know, hands-off libertarian type approach, as all, well, most good pirates are. You know, so things like that. But just let me just quickly, I'm not sure if you're following along live here as well via YouTube with the streaming feed, but there's a lot of comments that we're having people contribute to things here today. Satori D was mentioning the Black Iron Prison and the enlightened madness of Philip K. Dick. It's really interesting that he would mention Philip K. Dick. I just downloaded a number of his some of his talks and documentary or two last night to add to the digital library that we do have here aboard the ship, ever-expanding digital library. Joe Amanon talking about always fighting the war on drugs. It is really, though, if you think about it, the war on some drugs. You can come back, or we can come back, and you can address that if you want in a second here, Chance. But, yeah, hashtag TWOSD. The war on some drugs. So scrolling down once again through the comments section. Oh, as of yet, I just, Joe Amanon told 1,200 people on Facebook to come drop by and check out what we got streaming live here today. Internet-based, he can hack it, is what Pirate Joe says. So, yes, hacking satellites is kind of one of his things that he does on the side there. One of the original phone freakers. VoteFlux.org is what Satori D has added here to the streaming chat. A lot of great conversation going on there. Karen Lee, the Essenes were by the Dead Sea. I visited the area in 1987. Dead Sea Scrolls are in Jerusalem. Okay, thank you for that. Doing a fact check there with Karen Leah regarding the Dead Sea Scrolls. I think there's a bit of a Rockefeller tie-in as well.
Wish I could get in there. My internet's not strong enough to do both.
Come again? Now, 6-7 years later, there's, you know, open slave markets in Libya. Uh-oh. Chance, did we lose you? The hopeful part of that is we still, the average... Okay, let's see. We might have to refresh here, actually. Chance, can you hear me? I don't know if you can hear me or not.
Oh,
you can hear me?
Okay. We had a bit of rough connection there, choppy waters, if you will, turbulence. But now I can hear you quite well. So if you can hear me, then we're probably good.
We're good to go. How about that? So, yeah, from time to time. Now, I'm not sure what's going on here, how it is that people are coming in.
I can hear you.
Yeah. Great. Well, the room is locked, and there's people dropping in here from time to time. We have about 5 people in the room itself. On a pair, there's about a half a dozen that are joining us via YouTube and the live streaming chat. So it's just a mystery to me how people actually, I don't know if they've all managed to, if they've all got the monkey power. I know Satori D does. So let's, you know, we could maybe, well, we'll bring him into the after show because there's a lot more to talk about here. But Satori, with just you, Chance. But Satori, yeah, that'd be great if you're going to stick around and join us in the Rogues Gallery. Feel free to type away here in the text chat area, and who knows, maybe we'll bring you in as we close things off just for a bit of a comment or two. But going back to what we've got here with the show notes, you met Duncan Trussell not so long ago. Was that at the Darkening of the Sun festival that took place just a couple weeks ago?
A plane flew directly in front of the sun and crossed the light as it came out from behind the moon. And there were pink, giant pink.
Okay.
Actually, yeah. No, meeting Duncan happened quite a long time ago, actually. Yeah, let's see. Probably 2015.
Okay, and then where was that? How did that all come about?
I caught him at a Chicago show that he was doing, and it was pretty cool to get to meet him. He's definitely one of my podcasting heroes.
The human is the most studied animal of all the
I'm getting
species.
More turbulence. I think that I'm a little behind on hearing you.
You sound good here. There is a delay. I'm in South Korea, too, let's not forget. That's where the show is based out of. So there's bound to be some delay and maybe echo or bounce back from time to time. Part of it could have to do with the fact that we've got five people in the room at the moment. I'm not sure. But one of the folks that we have here does have the monkey power. It does appear. We're gonna throw a little bit of that Satori D's way here. See if he can cash in on the offer there to make the most of what's being handed to him there. Merry Christmas, Satori D. It's there if you want it. Yeah, can you hear me now? Are we still good to go, Chance?
It's sounding good now. I think that we got this.
Okay.
We can ride this wave. We can ride this wind all the way.
God damn, I tell you, and the rogue waves, those are the worst. You really got to keep an eye out for those. You've heard of the rogue waves?
Especially with all that harp action lately.
Holy shit. Well, there we go. Thank you for that little tie in there. You did a show recently. Let's hear just briefly a little bit about that. We got about 20, maybe 25 more minutes. Tell us a little bit about the show that you did regarding weather wars. And, I mean, talk about timing. We had actually, thanks once again to Satori D, Suzanne Marr was, we hooked up with her last year. This was her second show and managing to return to the Robin Hood just a couple weeks ago. But and a great show it was, along with Tech Lords, her webmaster and trusty techno sidekick. How did your show go exactly?
That show was extremely improvised, actually, but in a good way. I have a very close friend that lives here in town, Packy, who I had on for that episode, that he's been involved with creating online videos and truth research for quite a while, and his particular area of emphasis is weather manipulation, weather control. And the conclusions we came to in that conversation were that we discussed a few different avenues of technology that could potentially be disrupting the weather, and there's so many. I mean, Leonardo da Vinci had created some kinds of weather manipulation devices through the planned diversion of rivers and stuff like that. So essentially a lot of what's going on involves moving huge quantities of water from place to place, and that weight creates pressure on the tectonic plates, which it's insane probably how they would have to calculate this, but you know, we have some pretty crazy computers today in the white world, so imagine what the black world's got. And we talked about the source of all this being probably traceable to the Vatican like anything else. He seemed to have a pretty strong conviction that Jesuits were behind most things in general. So what I think is important to convey to people is that the weather ops are just the next false flag. And because people have become so aware of the hypocrisy and false flag operations and how fake events start wars, if you're noticing, they're not managing to get much support for any new wars lately, even when they, you know, murder children on CNN. So they're having to do it with this weather shit, and they've tested it before. I mean, Hurricane Katrina, they did everything they could to play up the divisive elements of that narrative on racial lines especially. But here, when we had these massive storms hitting, what we saw was huge cooperation from people in the community. So that was another thing that we talked about. My friend Packy, he's got a daughter down there in Houston, so he has an extra vested interest in the whole situation. But, you know, if we can all start talking about the truth behind what's going on with weather and, I mean, give ourselves and give other people also the space to be wrong about things and all just investigate it together, eventually we'll figure out what's really going on. And it'll also stop because that's the same reason that false flag attacks are hopefully going slowing down, I would think, because people are getting more wise to them. The internet researchers are getting more and more quick to respond with all the evidence of the, you know, deceptions. We can get to that level of awareness collectively in our communities like mine about how weather manipulation is going, and hopefully also get people to be a little less partisan, because as with all the other social medias that are alternatives that I've seen, there's so much party, I guess, polarization, whether it's towards the extreme right or the extreme left, and not a lot of people speaking about the fact that all government is mind control, and the word government itself means mind control. And so that's the kind of stuff that we talked about in that episode. That's kind of what me and Packy talk about all the time. I'm sure that he and I will create a lot of content in the future. And I also recommend going and checking out his YouTube channel. Just type in Packy Savinus. We can link to that in the show notes later, I'm sure. And he's working on a new video series where he is going to be helping people overcome pure OCD and fear-based mind control, in that not being able to act out of anxiety type of mind control. As someone who has gone through it and done a lot of research and even paid to investigate certain elements of what he's going through, and what, you know, now he's bringing everything for free to anybody that is willing to check it out. So yeah, shout out to my homie Packy. He's definitely a fighter in this resistance to tyranny.
Well, that sounds great. And he would probably be the kind of guest that we'd like to have on the show here at some point in the new year. We're totally booked up until, and even taking now, our January dance card is quickly filling up as well, January 2018. But exactly the type of character that we're looking for, not really a household name, not of the caliber of, like, say, James Corbett or Alex Jones or David Icke, Graham Hancock. I mean, there's a lot of high profile female, some people, you know, they say activists. I prefer the term engaged citizen. That's my kind of little thing that I haven't trademarked that one yet. I'm not sure if anyone else managed to come up with that to this point, but that's kind of, yeah, what the, you know, kind of a, came from out of my stream of consciousness one day, just way of looking at things. Your point about government and mind control, ding, 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 you betcha. And this whole business, of course, that ties into autonomy, too, let's not forget, which simply means self-naming. Constantly, the government and the court systems, and it's a legal system too, folks. There's very little justice to these legal systems that we have that are all kind of arms of tentacles of the Kraken. So,
you know the definition of legal?
Lay it on us, man. Let's hear it.
I've been doing a fair bit of reading and research on the topic of word magic and how legal speak is used to control people from birth through the birth certificate and beyond. And the law dictionary definition of the word legal is, and I'm one, but in law books from like the turn of the century, when a lot of this was getting really ramped up, legal actually is defined as having the appearance or color of law, but not grounded in law itself. And so then you have to define what is law. And I believe I've already attempted to do that by describing the natural law rights of all human beings to be free and left alone, essentially. Transgressions of the law would just be anything that attempts to take something from another without permission. So what the entire legal system is designed to do is to make you think that it's the law, while really it's trying to take something from you without your permission.
There's a lot of bad laws out there, and you're absolutely right. To, you know, quoting Woody Guthrie, some will rob you with a six gun and some with a fountain pen. So that's kind of, that's the way, very Woody Guthrie very much, I think he might be kind of a bit of a supporter of our little, the project and kind of the enterprise that we've launched here and have had, you know, been working on producing over the last year and a half or so, as far as, you know, WPRPN, your Innerverse project, and the community that together, I guess, collectively, Satori D and his Infinite Imaginarium, let's not forget, very much all on a similar kind of wavelength, committed to collaboration and creativity in a big way. So, yeah, you betcha, a lot of deception and hoodwinking that takes place within these courts of law. Once again, very little justice. Some people, for whatever reason, they parrot, and that's one thing we got to stop doing, folks. Program or be programmed, parroting these terms like the war on terror and just endless phrases that you know, we've got to start in taking a more autonomous approach. Step back, stop, and think, and rework.
Anarchy is a big one. On that subject, if we could get people to actually understand the true definition of the word anarchy, instead of having the association that it means chaos,
yeah,
or
violent, you know, violent big destruction, and then just total everyone running around freaking out. It's like with the apocalypse; it's the same kind of deal. The way
the definition of the word is no rulers, no masters,
right? Yeah, and
chaos.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting too, that prefix and the negation. You find it here in Korea. It's the same prefix as it is in Sanskrit. As another Sanskrit Korea English connection is the word go, which in Korean is ga, and in Sanskrit is the same ga. Gate, gate, para, gate, para, samgate, bodhisvaha. From the Heart Sutra, I throw that link out there anytime someone passes away. That's my kind of thing of kind of sending them on their way into the great unknown and really, you know, just folding back into where it is that we've come from. And there's no escaping it. You know, the one or the source. We're connected through all of time and space, all beings, all of creation. Some people don't see that. I think you and I probably do, and a few others here that are a part of things on a regular basis. They get it, but there's others that don't, and that's a bit of a problem, of course. So, but
that's why we have to repeat the truth over and over again, tirelessly.
Right.
I mean, but we'll have to just keep reminding people.
Sure. Yeah, and also, but refining our views and evolving and constantly progressing as far as the process of awakening and working towards that end goal of enlightenment.
Like doing it for yourself, and like healing yourself and making yourself. I'm sorry for interrupting so much, but like, you know, building up your ability to be of service to others. That is how you share the truth, I would say.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what other reason are we here for? More sex? More great food? More fabulous Hollywood-produced movies? You know, more travel and going here and going there and seeing that and taking pictures? And, hey, look at me. I'm here with my doing my live stream on, you know, YouTube with my, GoPro sticks? Or I can understand that, I guess, if people have something. I mean, that's the way I travel. I've not left this country in about a decade now, really, and there's a reason for that, and it is kind of political. I do feel as if I am a political prisoner. I'm not going to travel. I'm voting with my feet. They've been taking these, I guess, body-scanning X-ray machines that Michael Chertoff, I guess, had a real central role in having implemented and rolled out. He's the former head of Homeland Security under the Bush administration, as people may recall. Dual citizen, American-Israeli traitor, essentially, and someone, talk about people that ought to be, some would say lined up and shot. I'm not sure if I would go that far, but definitely taken, you know, into the dock and you know, held to account for their actions and everything that they've been a part of. You know, Rumsfeld, Cheney, the whole lot of them. I mean, you could just go through the whole list, but there's the people see that, but there's a lack of political, the will, unfortunately, for whatever reason, has been subverted, and, you know, the corruption. So they're just laughing all the way to the bank or what have you. And, nothing much that really ultimately people can do about things. Several attempts on, I guess, citizens' arrests of Henry Kissinger, you know, based on the fact that many see him as a war criminal. That's been attempted, but to no avail to this point. Their karma will eventually catch up with them, as it does all of us. So there you go. But yeah, Chertoff, I guess, played a leading kind of central role in this with the body scanning machines. They've all, I guess, been quietly, they've kind of rolled things back a little bit, and according to some reports, been removing them from airports around the world. But the biometric thing is another real, that's a deal breaker for me. And that's, they've crossed the line in the sand there that I'm just not, I'm not willing to play ball anymore, frankly. And as I said, voting with my feet. I'm not going to submit my biometric goal, at least willingly. I'm sure they've been doing a lot as far as the CCTV cameras here, which I don't know how things were in the States, but they certainly had those rolled out in great haste here in Korea over the course of about 2 or 3 years, starting in around 2010. It really seemed to take off. But now I'm not sure what the original point was exactly. You can maybe help refresh my memory. I sometimes do take off on a bit of a tear, although this is your show, really, your time and your day. So we want you to be the main speaker here, but sometimes people just have these things that they need to get out there and off their chest. So do you just want to jump in there, Chance?
Yeah, I have one more thing I want to say. I know I really come across sometimes as like just people should do this, people should do that. And especially when it comes to like, you know, talking about natural law and truth and philosophical ideals that we can actually apply to our lives to make them better. I stand by something that I've said in the past that I haven't really repeated enough lately, which is that creativity for its own sake is also a valid expression of truth without needing to be adhering to some particular formula that seems to be important to other people to repeat. So even just the person who's creating a random YouTube video with their GoPro and sharing what they're doing, it's a valid expression of truth because someone else could potentially learn from the thing they're doing right or the thing they're doing wrong, whether or not it's even consciously in the awareness of the person who was creating. So in that sense, the more we can encourage each other to be creative, the more likely people are to discover truth through the process in and of itself, because it's all, like you said, we all return to the same source, but all the paths that we might take where we're actually engaging our creative, our imagination, those capacities, that's the path that takes us back to the center of the wheel, metaphorically. And it doesn't matter which one of those routes you take up the mountain of truth, you will discover similar concepts everywhere. And that's just something that's very obvious when you look at the physical sciences, how biology and physics are merging, and astrobiology is the thing. And so in all these ways, anywhere we can engage with the creative force and find our way of saying something that's unique to us that only we know or only we could make, it almost really doesn't matter what it is. Even if it's some like really dark, fucked up thing. Personally, I don't like a lot of dark things, but you know, something, you know, like It, the movie It, I actually saw that in for a Hollywood movie. It actually had truth being expressed, which was that the only thing that can hurt you is fear, despite the fact that there were a lot of problematic things in that movie, especially related to sexualization of children. So I don't even really want to go there. There was also a valid expression of truth. For me, I just want to encourage as many people to be creative as I can. And sometimes I beat the natural law and the morality horse maybe more than I should, when I could be focusing on exploring what it is that makes us creative and exploring what motivates people and what helps people stay in the flow of doing what it is that only they can do. And to end that, if you're still looking for your way of expressing, you should look for what it is that you are seeking in the world and can't find and create that. That's a good place to start. Or just dick around and have fun and doodle or pick up an instrument and mess around. Like, just engage that part of yourself that can have fun with something. Like for me, getting all hardcore serious about, you know, podcasting and truthering, that's really fun. I mean, I might sound like I'm kind of serious sometimes, but like to me, this is a blast. So what do you think about that, good sir?
Well, yeah, you got to take the lighthearted approach for sure. And it's ridiculous to take ourselves too seriously, although we might from time to time be addressing pretty heavy topics that for some people they just completely shut off and want to tune out from. Sure, of course, you got a lighthearted, comical approach. Don't let the bastards bring you down, you know. One of the things I was going to say, though, is that there's zombies out there, man, though, too. Let's not forget Borgs, people that it's tough to wake up, and it takes some real skill for sure to and a certain type of energy, perhaps, or well, I'm not sure what exactly, but a magical means of some sort, perhaps, to get through to these people so that the spark of just basic curiosity is implanted and that the flame arises and is lit and spreads. You know, look at the Pokemon people, look at these fucking zombie, what are these zombie days all about? They are zombies, yeah, fuck people, man, you are the zombies, come on, go ahead.
Well, it is also important to realize we're all in some level of zombification, mortification, if you will, or another, it's a spectrum. We're all freeing our minds, some of us are farther in the process than others, and some have not even begun. And the occult, the secret societies, the people that haven't begun, even started on the path towards spiritual awakening, they call them the unbegun or the dead. So like you said, zombies. And that's kind of an occult mockery that zombie movies and zombie TV shows have become so popular. And although, because people have made the metaphorical connection that, yeah, they're talking about the population, that's the Walking Dead, the actual, masses, they haven't realized it's based on an economic system that's causing us to all be the Walking Dead. There's this weird word magic going on involving a fictitious corporate version of yourself that parents sign away to the state with a birth certificate, your name in all caps, that represents a corporate version of you, which is also an artificial thing, so therefore a dead thing. We have these licenses that have these all caps names on it, and we have our mortgages and our insurance and our credit cards and our bank accounts, all with this all capital letters name that is actually sending your time energy, specifically represented by the currency that you put into these things, to feed energy to a dead thing, literally feeding the dead. All these rat races that we're caught in, and I'm in one. I'm in a rat race. I mean, I've got a mortgage and I've got a full-time job, and it's insane. Don't think I can do it for much longer, honestly, but I'm trying to find a way to smoothly transition instead of creating another karmic cycle for myself just through the act of resisting what currently is. And I'm making that transition. Really enjoying etymology lately, like I said, reading about it. And I actually read the etymological background of the word mortgage today, and it's from French. You have mort, which is dead, and then you have gage, which means a pledge. So literally the word mortgage is a pledge to the dead. It's pretty crazy shit what they've done with the legal system and the words to unconsciously get people to subscribe to this really gnarly symbol structure of energizing the opposing force, if you will, within our own selves. And we have to get real clear about how these systems work if we're ever going to be able to break free of them for ourselves. But it's tricky to talk about because some of this is just, it really requires a balanced left and right brain to even comprehend. And people that are really far into left brain imbalance or right brain imbalance will reject it outright, might even fight you on this type of information. So it's hard to talk about. And I don't have enough information about it to even be nearly as convincing as somebody that's done real research either on etymology and word magic.
Well, and then there's, of course, information overload. I think that was the title of your talk with Mr. Corbett, and disinformation too, let's not forget, because information is great, but come on folks, we separate the wheat from the chaff, and as you say, the balance, the left right brain people, it depends if you got a dog in the fight, I suppose. If you see yourself as one of the vested interests, maybe you've invested stock, a lot of money that you've put in shares in the stock market or what have you. But one of the things I wanted to mention here as we wind things up, and let's quickly, if we could, just hit on a few key points here, and then we'll see what we can do as far as the Rogues Gallery after show end of things is concerned. But rather than just completely bashing Islam wholesale, I will give them credit, because that's what I like to do. I like to give credit where I feel credit is due. That was a sweet little rhyme, man. I just busted a rhyme. Wasn't hardly even trying, but that's the way it kind of all came out. But no, Islam is the usury end of things, I think, is great, because they're totally against that whole business, which we find such an in, integral part of the banking and money lending system in the West, compound interest in particular, and these mortgages that people take out. And, you know, that's, you know, this whole business, of course, of end the Fed and the phony fiat funny money scam that basically has been in place for little more than a century now. And, it's tough, it seems, even just to get an audit in there. But, you know, that's, I guess, all I'm going to say on that point. One of the things I would like to raise here, a couple things, though, just briefly, as we kind of steer the ship back into the harbor, you know, Skullport Bay, and call it a night, is going back to Patreon. Laura Southern was, she was, I believe, banned or had her account shut down. I'm not sure if you followed that. I'd imagine you picked up on that. It kind of came across your radar at some point. That, and also I want to just briefly talk about the etymology of your name, believe it or not, and how, and we'll save more of this for the after show, but how it ties into actually a place I visited just south of Edinburgh back in the summer of 1999 as the Merry Pranksters were out on their way traveling through the UK in search of Merlin, of all people. So, and how I myself actually just luckily by fluke, I guess, or you could say chance, managed to cross paths with the Pranksters and even ride on the bus for a bit of a spell. That was what was in the cards for Jaffe, I guess, on that particular day back in the summer of 99. But, yeah, Patreon and their treatment of Laura Southern. Did you follow that or pick up on that at all? Any thoughts? And by the way, just to let listeners know, we do have our stream. It looks like there is some disruption taking place. We're hoping that YouTube is going to be able to record things here. Who knows what may have been the reason behind that. Chance, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We are back and clear. The turbulence is over.
God damn it, I tell ya. Yeah, there's a little bit of salty language here from time to time, folks. being you know, the pirate ship that it is here and that we are. So, but just any thoughts there on Lauren Southern and her, the way that Patreon, they basically banned her, I guess, and shut her account down.
Do you know why they justified that? Because I can't think of a single reason.
Oh, you have no idea?
Yeah, I actually don't know about that.
They were trying to say essentially that she was, because of her alt-right, that's in air quotes, leanings, or the support for, basically there's a campaign to turn back these refugees or immigrants or whatever it is. It's like a tsunami of Africans and people from the Middle East and Islamic world trying to make their way into Europe, one boatload after the next. That there's a resistance that spontaneously and organically has, it seems, emerged. And she was there on the front lines, actually, in one of the boats that were working on doing what they could to turn these, well, some would call invaders or jihadists. You know, there are some, of course, genuine refugees, which after, you know, the proper vetting procedure, and you know, I'm all for having people, of course, multicultural society and whatnot, but geez, where you've got a religion like Islam where close to a one quarter of them are extremists and jihadists that are willing to, you know, martyr themselves and for the sake of what they feel is right based on their goofy book, that is a problem, something which seems to be lost on all too many politicians in the West. In this whole business, of course, of the Hijra, if you look at Islamic teaching and so forth. So you didn't hear anything about that, though, I guess.
No, but I'm not surprised to hear of that outcome. It's quite unfortunate the way things are bubbling in Europe right now. I'm hoping that the populations can see that what's happening is governments are using the populations to be at war with the populations. The government are at war with their own people. And it's just a false flag movement, in my opinion. I think that I think the people that are coming across, you know, all kinds of people are probably coming across, whether it's Islamic extremists to actual refugees that need a safe place to go. But the the geopolitical pressures that are creating this migration. I'm sure that they're calculated, and I'm sure we need to watch out for very much more shady stuff than that Patreon story happening in regards to what's going on over there. I haven't really paid a lot of attention to what you would call traditional news for quite a while on purpose. I'm trying to avoid using the talking points that the mainstream media uses in general, but, you know, a story about Patreon that is newsworthy to me for sure, as someone that is relying on that quite a bit to even have a chance to expand my operations here. So luckily I probably won't be involved in any radical action that will get me banned, but who knows? I mean, 1% censorship is just as bad as any percent censorship. It should not exist. So I'll have to keep an eye on what they're up to and possibly look for alternatives in terms of crowdfunding. I know Minds has the capability to do Patreon style crowdfunding, but I think the interface still needs to come a long way before I'm interested in trying to do any kind of migration.
To where exactly?
Well, you know, Minds has the capability to set up a subscription based, donations for rewards and tiers of content. So in a way you could theoretically migrate your Patreon to Minds, but I think, Minds needs to get a little further in their beta test before interested in doing that.
All but kinds
Minds
of bugs.
Isn't likely
for sure.
To censor somebody for that kind of thing. So that's definitely a plus to them.
Hang on now. Well, hang on. Yeah, well, here's the thing. And, we could get a little more into it in the after show, but there was a big blow up recently just in the bug section, I guess is where I first came across the whole mention of this, and that dealing with the Islamic rape of Swedish women in Sweden, of course. And we all know how that's been going. At least most people have a rough idea. It's a big issue, and it's not Swedish men, like the ethnic, you know, traditional, the Viking guys, you know, the blonde hair, blue eyed or what have you, that have, their families have lived there for thousands of years. It's the Islamic invaders, as some would have them, people that, my God, it's pretty bad, I guess. So what happened on Minds was that there was content referring to this that people were trying to boost, and they got shut down. It was regarded as hashtag NSFW, not safe for work. And it's very subjective. I'm not sure if you kind of hit on that or not, but I don't really want to belabor the point or get in too much detail at this particular moment as we try to kind of dock the ship and head off to the after show. But we'll talk about maybe that a little more as we kind of move things here more behind the scenes, as it were. But yeah, Gordon, the name Gordon and Gordon Place. I'd like to know a little bit more about that here. We could go into that a little more extensively in the after show here as we transition over to things in the Rogues Gallery in just the next couple of minutes. I guess that's about it for now, though. Anything more that you'd like to add to things besides your website addresses and any maybe projects that you're working on at the moment, or any just quick last thoughts that ways that you think we can maybe work on better with the synergy end of things, converging or integrating or collaborating? Lumio is a great platform that Satori D has told us about, and we're over there. We're signed up. Like to check out Steam, of course. But thanks for dropping by today, Chance. It's about time.
Yeah, agreed. I think the next step for us collaboratively is you to come over and join Interverse, and we can just kind of extend this conversation, and I can get to know a little bit more about what's led you to the life of a freebooting sailor. And I think that would be a lot of fun. There's plenty of other people, especially people in the chat right now, that I think would be fantastic to get into this type of conversation with, or maybe even have a roundtable sometime, a kind of special collaborative episode off outside of maybe either of our normal schedules, perhaps, where we could do some sort of maybe more group-oriented content. That would be interesting. I'm definitely interested in continuing to collaborate. It's definitely been too long in the making. We should have done it sooner, but sounds like you're achieving a lot of bookings, and that's in keeping your schedule good and tight. And I would like help I could get with suggestions of guests or contacts with people that would be good for my show, as you've generously provided. And hopefully I'll be able to make the time to schedule that kind of stuff. But anyway, interversepodcast.com is where you can find what I'm doing. You find links to all my social media channels there. And I would just tell someone checking out the show for the first time to pick an episode that looks interesting and go with that. There's not really any need to go in order. And yeah, please send me your guest requests or contacts. More of that is always good. And thanks for having me on the show. It was a lot of fun to do a live show. It was the first time I've ever done something like this in a live capacity. So I appreciate the opportunity to practice that type of conversational skill on the fly. And I look forward to future collaborations with you, brother. I appreciate that you are also one that recognizes the truth of the unity in all life and the importance of freedom, because those two things are key to creating and imagining a new world that is better than the one that we came in with. That's all we have to do.
A new world is possible, and it's a question, of course, of what direction are we going to take things? What form and shape is it going to take? What is the outcome here that we're looking at, essentially? We've got someone here that's just kind of waiting in the – it looks like they're – okay, we've got them on the line there. Okay, stand by, Chance. We have someone special – is he there, Captain? Yeah, get on.
Nah, Daffy, I be here, alright. Listen to the show here with Chance, from the Universe, podcast. And we've got to say, it's a great, great pleasure to have you be a part of things today. We're sorry about the technical, the glitches and whatnot. There's little that can be done. I'm not sure if that's so much from Jaffy's end as, acts of sabotage, perhaps. You know, this is the world of high seas piracy, of course, so. These things do occur from time to time. I've been through your archives and your show. Many of the guests you have, quite intriguing, interesting topics, and like to see you keep up providing more quality content as you are. So just once again, thank you so much, and happy sailing.
Wow, Captain
Sinclair. Much gratitude. Appreciate it.
How about that? So... yeah, he's, I don't know, he's...
he not that, come out often?
That is the captain. Well, he comes out from time to time. Not every show do we hear from him. He's off, he's gone. We're not going to hear much more from him tonight. But, yeah, he does pop in from time to time when he's got a few words to share with people, offer a bit of a salute and tip of the pirate hat there from Captain Sinclair. Thank you once again, Chance. Just going to let people know that we do have the October schedule coming up here shortly with poetess and all too witchy personality Teresa M. Clayton. We also have a number of other great qualityminds.com personalities scheduled for the month of October, including Thomas Duder, Rational Outlaw, and capping things off at the end of the month with the Halloween Roundtable. So that is pretty much open format. Anyone who'd like to drop in and be a part of things is welcome to join us. If you think that you've got something that you can offer and manage to share with us for the Halloween commemoration or holiday, as it is in the eyes of some. A lot of minds personalities that have been a part of things here too, let's not forget. Satori D, of course, who has joined us here once again today. Looks like maybe a part of the after show. Cuz the Shroom just last week off of minds.com and Americanuck Radio, along with a whole number of other very high quality, colorful, and dynamic personalities. So I think that's about it, folks. Until we meet again out on the high digital seas, I'm your host, as always, the ship's chief communications officer, Jaffe Ryder. Aye now, thar we be, having carefully looked over each of our navigation panel instruments, checking every level, switch, knob, and dial. By all accounts and indications, we indeed see it's time once again to drop anchor inside the bay and draw an end to another week of Pirate Radio Podcasts. Don't forget, If you're looking for a little more free-flowing action, we've likely got another great Rogues Gallery after show coming up next in either Google Hangouts or Skype. Also, if you've in any way enjoyed or found yourself benefiting from the shows we've tirelessly produced over the past year and a half plus, you might want to drop by our new Patreon tip jar page and lend a little support. Presently commanding a whole 6 big ones per episode, our unimpeachable longshoreman math skills tell us we're on course this year to set aside around $150 in charity. Help to keep those numbers growing over on Patreon, and we'll be able to extend even more of a generous pirate hand. Be sure to join us again same time next week. Amazingly, we're now booked solid until December, with a whole wide range of colorful guests and show topics, along with what's bound to be a few big surprises. So be sure to drop by WPRPN.com's feature interview area and check out what we've got on tap for the last few months of 2017. If you yourself have an intriguing idea for a guest or story, you can either drop us a line directly over on WPRPN.com or fire us a quick email via PirateOneRadio@gmail.com. WPRPN.com network subdomain links are also now available. Great for artists, musicians, podcasters, social media personalities, or pretty much just any landlubber looking to boost their online visibility, presence, and reach, basic accounts can be launched for only $15 a year. Staking your claim now helps not only strengthen you and the network, we're also looking out for the little guy. That's right, folks. Half of all WPRPN's profits are redirected right back into the hands of the people who really need it most. Community charity. After all, we are the Robin Hood. You can further embark on your own personal pirate journey by liking, subscribing, commenting on, sharing, and following any of our main social media channels via Facebook, iTunes, Twitter, YouTube, Google Plus, or Minds.com. So don't forget to become engaged. Until we meet again out on the high digital seas, I'm your host as always, the ship's chief communications officer, Jaffe Ryder. Tally ho!